start off by thanking Pastor Johnson and Pastor Isaac, although he's not here, for giving me the opportunity to speak this evening, so thank you. For those who don't know, my name is Lily. I am 14 years old. I'm on the worship team here at Elk Heart Life, and it is a privilege of mine to be speaking to you guys this evening. Today, I will be sharing a verse that has been encouraging to me. This verse is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This verse emphasizes that we should not be like the world, but we need to live a holy and set apart life, experiencing God's plan through a transformed mind. This verse could specifically apply to you if someone hurt your feelings, and all your flesh would want to do in that situation is hurt them back. But that's not the right thing to do in that situation. The right thing to do would be to pray and handle the situation with love and kindness, like it says a few verses later, Romans chapter 12, verse 21, 12, verse 2, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." We must be changed in how we think to have our minds renewed so that we can begin to understand God's word, God's will for our lives, because if we are still living like the world and in that worldly mindset, then God's will cannot be done through us, and we can't experience the plans that he has set for our lives. So we have to allow God to renew our minds by filling it with things of God. Living like the world means pleasing your fleshly desires and allowing your flesh to control you. Allowing God to renew your mind will transform you and your spirit, and God's will can be done through you. Renewing your mind means hiding God's word in your heart, offering yourself to God, saying, "Lord, I am willing for you to change the way that I think, even where it is uncomfortable." We need to be reading God's word and walking in spirit so that we can produce fruit like love and joy and resist fleshly desires. I encourage all of you to ask God to renew your minds daily and to lead you to be in his will and be not conformed to this world, because we face temptation, fleshly desires, and sin daily, so we must renew our minds. Thank you for listening.
If we can stand, and we're going to a moment of worship. And what a beautiful message, Lord, that we need Jesus at the center of our lives in order to get through.
Hallelujah. I'm glad to know Jesus, aren't you? Life has all kinds of surprises. Some of them are good. Some we'd just rather skip. But as long as Jesus is with us, he's front and center in our lives, we have nothing to worry about. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is such a joy and honor to be back in Elkhart with each and every one of you, with people of God, with our dear friends, the Johnsons. We love and appreciate them. Known them for 4 or 5 years now, and actually a whole lot longer. But it's so good to be here. And I want to thank you, before I start on anything else, for your faithful support. This church monthly supports the work in Chile and have for many years. And I want to thank you as missionaries. But not only do I want to say thank you for supporting it, the work in us as missionaries, but thank you for the national church there that can't be here tonight to express their gratitude. But thank you for giving. Thank you for praying, making it possible for us to be missionaries in the nation of Chile and to reach that country with the gospel. And I do apologize. Tonight, I'm by myself. My wife is not with me. She is on her way to Japan right now. Please pray for her, and she would have safe travels. But the good thing is we're here and Jesus is here. And when the Lord is present, good things happen in Chile and in Indiana. And it's with joy and gratitude tonight that I can report to you that great things are happening in Chile. God is blessing, and we're experiencing revival throughout the country. As you see there, Chile is a very long, narrow country. And I think if we go advance through the slides there, you can see It is on the southwestern side of South America, but it's kind of unique. Even though we're on the Pacific coast, we're as far east as Boston, Massachusetts is. That's just the way Central America and South America shift over to the east. And so right now it is 9:18 in Chile. They're 2 hours ahead of us. But when we go, let's see, we will spring ahead and they'll fall back. Half the year, it's the same as Eastern Standard Time. And then half the year, we're 2 hours ahead of you. And it is the longest, narrowest country in the world. And if you bring it to the U.S., stretch it across the United States, that's what it would look like. It would go from San Francisco, California, out to Long Island, New York. And I want to, before we go to the next slide, want to thank this church and the youth. And I know not only the youth work for Move the Mission, but thank each and every one of you for working for Move the Mission. And you truly do move the mission. You purchased us a 2018 VW Amarok, which is a double cab turbo diesel pickup truck that we drive up and down. We don't drive back and forth too much. We run out of country. We either go up into the Andes Mountains and over into Argentina, or go across the Pacific, coastal range and out into the Pacific. But we travel a lot north and south, back and forth, up and down through the country. And we do go east and west just a little bit, but not very much at all. But thank you, thank you. God bless you for sharing and caring and sacrificing, helping us reach the country. You can see what a challenge we would have if we didn't have a reliable vehicle. We're very limited on what we can do, but we travel in the vehicle, some by bus. We have really nice over-the-road buses also, and then some times we have to get on an airplane and fly. If we go to the southernmost church in Chile, you can't get there by land. Well, you can, but you have to go over to Argentina, and for us to get there, it would probably take us in excess of 40, 45 hours driving time, because you have to go back and forth across the mountains so many times. But we drive to the airport, get on a plane, and fly about 4 hours south. But way down in the cold country, the closest country, the Antarctica, is Chile, and that's one of our southernmost cities. But revival fires are burning down there where it's cold. Amen. And great things are happening. If we go to the next slide, just give you a little bit of idea. That's not the Texas flag. That's the Chilean flag. And I think it's, I have to brush up on this, it's either 13 or 18 years older than the Texas flag. So I don't know who copied who. Maybe just they thought it was a good idea and decided to copy it for Texas. Amen. Go ahead to the next one. And we are blessed with our family. We have two daughters. One lives in L.A. The other one lives in Japan. So that's where my wife is headed right now. Our oldest daughter has had some health issues, so she's going to be with them there. And we have now two sons-in-laws. As of the 16th of last month, we got our second son-in-law. We've had our eldest son-in-law for 10 years, and now we've got a brand new member to the family. So God is good. We're thankful, and thankful that our family served the Lord. Go ahead, if you would, to the next one. And there's my wife and I standing out in front of one of our churches in the Concepcion area. It's about 45 minutes, hour out into the hills from where we live. But this church, the building you see there, they built it during pandemic and with a lot of sacrifice, and they were just about getting ready to dedicate it. And then the wildfires hit and burned it to the ground. And so as you can tell or understand, they were disheartened, but they sacrificed, scraped together, and built it back better than it was before. And so I think I visited it about 2 months ago, and they told me that very soon they were going to dedicate it. So I think they're going to dedicate it before summer's over. It's summertime in Chile. So they're going to do it. And talking about summertime, I wish I was in Chile tonight with all of you. It'd be a whole lot better than being here in the cold. Amen. Go ahead, if you would, please. And we do have conferences throughout. This is one of our conferences in the city of Concepcion, and I think the next couple slides also show that. This was a men's conference, and it's with joy that I can report to you that in our national conference, which we had in November this past year, we had record attendance, and we had, I believe my memory serves me correctly, 72 that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we give God all the glory for that. Amen. We have about 95 churches and works throughout the country now, and so we are excited and thank the Lord, but there is so much work yet to do. Chile is a very needy country, and we are right now trying to reach out into different areas, and we do thank God that just recently here, we had a board meeting, I believe it was Monday morning. I was in the board meeting via Zoom, and we appointed a pastor to a new area, a church there, so the work is continuing on. Great things are happening, and we ask you help us pray that the Lord would hasten our return back to Chile. We just started deputation. This is the third church we've been in on deputation. And so I ask you help us pray and that the Lord would help us to quickly get all our partners in missions and be able to return back to Chile to continue on. But in the meantime, we want to be a blessing here. Amen. We want to be a blessing where we are. And again, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Johnson and this church, for your faithful support. And if you would be interested and able to increase it, it would be a blessing to us. Amen. I could talk to you a long time about Chile, but we don't have a whole lot of time tonight because time doesn't cooperate with us. Thank the Lord. I was telling the pastors before service on Sunday, I asked the pastor what time church ended. It was 10:35, and he told me we usually dismiss at 10:40. So thank the Lord I have a little more time tonight. But let's go to the Word of the Lord, and I would like to share with you just a thought that has been a blessing to me. And if you would accompany me to the book of Judges, the second chapter, and want to read verses 7 through 13. Book of Judges, chapter 2. And we will begin in verse 7. It says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Theres, the mountain of Ephraim on the north side of Gash. Verse 10 says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. For just a few moments, I would like to share with you on the thought, the curse of the generation. Our world has changed so drastically in the last few years. I'm an MK. I'm a missionary kid. I grew up on the mission field, and I remember, and I was talking with my parents about this. I got the privilege of spending some time this last week with them, and when I was a kid at home, I remember my mom would faithfully write my grandma every week, and she would go and she would buy airmail stationery and airmail envelopes. And it was, some of you might remember, real thin paper and real light envelopes. And she would write her a letter, and we would mail it from Chile back to Michigan. It would take 1 month if everything went good. Airmail. It would take 1 month to get a letter from Chile to Michigan. And my grandmother would write a letter to my mom every week, and we would get a letter every week from Grandma and Grandpa. But it was old news. It was a month old. I mentioned to you we have a daughter in L.A. and one in Japan. We FaceTime every day. What a difference. I remember if there was a need for my dad to get through and call, sometimes he would have to call the UPCI headquarters for a certain situation or whatever. He would call me and said, "Steve, come in. I need you to call headquarters for me." And I knew what that meant, and that wasn't going to be fun. Because I would have to sit down and dial, try to get an overseas operator. Sometimes it'd take an hour or 2 hours to get an overseas operator. And Dad would be next door in the Bible school teaching Bible school classes. And so I would sit there, try to get through. And when I would finally get through, I would say, "Hello, Brother Judd, this is Steve Well. Just a minute, I'll go get my dad." And I'd run and get my dad, and he'd interrupt Bible school. The world has changed a lot. Some things for the better. Thank God for that. But some things have changed and are not for the better. We live in a different world than we did back then. Now the young people are looking at me like I'm ancient. But things have changed so rapidly and are changing very rapid. And one thing that technology has done, it has shrunk the size of the world. We get information back and forth, and not only do we get information, but things that transpire in one part of the world many times end up transpiring almost simultaneously in other parts of the world. You don't need me to come from Chile to tell you that things are a little difficult. Our world's in chaos. People are searching for an answer. We're living in difficult times. But there's nothing new. Scriptures let us know that it was not a miracle, but it was many miracles, one after another, that God did to deliver his people out of the bondage in Egypt. Not only did he use miracles to free them from Egypt, but when they came up to the Red Sea, the Lord parted the Red Sea and they went through on dry ground. He provided for them in the wilderness. We also know that due to their lack of faith, unbelief, complaining and murmuring, they were not able to enter in to possess the promised land as God wanted them to in the time that God had desired for them to. And so we understand and see that Israel wandered aimlessly in the wilderness, but finally we read the scripture here, how Israel was able to enter into the promised land. They entered into the promised land, and finally they were able to possess everything that God had promised them. I'm thankful to know that the God that we serve never fails to fulfill his promises. Even though many times we frustrate the will of God in our lives, and we are not able to many times accept allow the will of God to be fulfilled in our lives at the right time, God remains faithful. How many times have you and I perhaps not allowed the will of God to be fulfilled at the right time in our lives? But nevertheless, he remains faithful. And when we align ourselves with His will, when we align ourselves with His purpose, He then, in His loving mercy, does miracles for us. Amen. Miracle after miracle in our lives. And so Israel finally got to the place where they aligned themselves with the will of God, and God continued His purpose in their lives, and He began to direct them and to guide them, and they went into the promised land and possessed it and received everything, and it was exactly as the Lord had promised them, a land of that flowed with milk and honey. And as happens in life, time went by, and Joshua got to the end of his days. Not only did Joshua, but those who were of Joshua's generation. Scriptures tell us he passed away at 110 years old. That's something that Israel had experienced before, because their great leader Moses had passed away and Joshua came on the scene. But this time the Bible lets us know that the situation was different, because unlike when Moses passed away and the next generation, that was Joshua's generation, arose and began to lead Israel, this time the situation was different. Because when Joshua died, the Bible tells us in this scripture here in Judges chapter 2, where we read, lets us know that when Joshua and that generation passed away, another generation arose. But the situation was so different because there was a tragedy that took place. We don't understand exactly what happened or how it happened, but the Bible says that the next generation that arose knew not the Lord. Somewhere between Joshua's generation and the next generation, something happened that the next generation did not have a relationship with God. They did not know the Lord as the previous generations had. They did not understand, and they did not know. And so because of their lack of relationship with God, and because of the fact that they knew not the Lord, Scriptures tell us they did evil in the sight of God. They did that which was evil in His sight, and we see the results. It proved to be a terrible curse for that generation. Instead of living under the blessing of God as Israel had, even though they had faltered and failed and not always done what the Lord had designed for them to do, but when they would come back to the Lord, they would receive mercy and they would receive the blessing of the Lord. But this new generation, because they did evil in God's sight, because they did not know the Lord, they began to sin against Him and they began to reap the results of the curse. It was a curse upon that generation. All because they forgot God. As we read further on, lets us know that it brought the wrath of God upon them. And as we have mentioned already, we're living in some challenging times. 2026 is challenging. Doesn't make any difference where you are. There are challenges that we face. And I believe it is because we live in a very similar world or under very similar circumstances that Israel began to live under. Because there is a curse upon this generation. I'm not talking about an age group. I'm not talking about a certain group of people, but there is a curse that is upon our world right now. Unfortunately, hardly nothing surprises us anymore. We've seen so much and heard so much, and it seems like every day somewhere in the world you hear something tragic happening. Our world is living in chaos. Our world is living in confusion. And I believe that is what the Apostle Peter spoke about when on the day of Pentecost, as he preached his first message there, anointed by the Holy Ghost, he preached, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We still preach it, amen? In Elkhart and in Chile, we still preach it because that is the plan of salvation. Amen? That is the only way to be saved. But Peter went on and admonished them a little bit more, and in verse 40, he simply says, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." What are you talking about, Peter? There's some challenging times coming. There are difficult times. I like the way it says it in Spanish a little bit better than English, where it says, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." In Spanish, it says, "From this perverse generation." We're living in a untoward generation. But I'm thankful to know that there is an admonition in the Word of God to help us and to understand that there is a plan that is sovereign that God has in store for us still. In spite of the chaos, in spite of the confusion, the Apostle Paul echoed the words of Peter when he said to the Philippian church in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, he says, "Do all things without murmuring or disputing." I think Paul probably was making reference to what he remembered happened to Israel. They got the wrong attitude. When you get the wrong attitude, it affects things, affects everything. And so Paul began to by telling the Philippians, "Do everything without murmuring and disputing." And then he said, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." Or in Spanish it says, "That you may be without spot in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation." You see, we are not victims. We don't have to be victims to the pressures of this life. We don't have to be victims to the situations that we face today. The Bible lets us know that we are more than conquerors. Amen. I know what a conqueror is. I don't know what more than conquerors is, but if the Lord says it, I believe it and I want it. Amen. I believe it's possible for us in Elkhart. I believe it's possible in Santiago, Chile, in Concepcion, Chile, for us to be more than conquerors in the midst of a perverse generation, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of problems, in the midst of uncertainty in this world. You see, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, Proverbs 30, verse 12 says, and yet is not washed from their wickedness. But I'm thankful to know today that we serve a God that can break every single curse. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to live saying we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We know what the outcome is going to be for the children of God. The word of the Lord gives us a glimpse into what the outcome is going to be. I want to encourage you tonight, no matter what situation you're facing, no matter the difficulties that you come in contact with, we have a God who is faithful, who still does mighty miracles. He still does mighty miracles for His people. And so although we live and are surrounded by the curse of this generation, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to the grocery store, wherever you go, you see the effects of the curse of sin, the curse of this generation. But oh, hallelujah, we come to the house of the Lord and receive the blessing of the strength of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, because it doesn't make any difference who we are or what we think. We are affected by what goes on around us. Amen. If you're around somebody who's negative, it affects you. And when we are around and when we go to work and we cannot exclude ourselves from these situations. It affects it. But when we come into the presence of the Lord, things begin to change. Chains begin to break. Victory begins to be a reality in our lives. And I am thankful tonight to be able to trust in Jesus Christ and know that we have a message of hope. We have a message for us, but not only for us. What you're receiving here tonight is for you, but it's not exclusively for you. It is for you to receive, for you to benefit, for you to be strengthened, but to go out into a cursed generation, a cursed society, and we can proclaim there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is life-changing experiences awaiting those who will surrender their lives unto Him. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. He goes on to say, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from just this generation forever. So I want to encourage you. I'm not here to prophesy and say bad things are going to happen. We live in a world where bad things are difficulties. It rains so over the just and the unjust, the Bible tells us. But I want to encourage you tonight, let you know God still does the impossible. No matter how great the curse, no matter how great the darkness, our God is greater. His word never fails. And we have the blessing and the privilege of receiving it in our lives and to take it into the darkness and proclaim to those who are lost and those who are in bondage, you can be free in Jesus' name. You can be free in Jesus' name. Psalm 14, verse 5 says, there they were in great fear. But then it says, for God is in the generation of the righteous. I personally thank the Lord. When I was a young person, I thought it would have been so cool to be a first century Christian. I don't know, maybe somebody else had that thought. You know, it just would have been neat to just been a part of that and see all that's going on. But then I got to thinking, and it's probably after I got a little bit older, I'm sure it was, you know, that would have been neat. But I have a greater privilege. You have a greater privilege. You can't be part of the first century church. But I believe we are part of the last century church. So I believe we're living in the greatest time the church has ever experienced. Greatest revival. Greatest victories. Greatest triumph. Greatest darkness, yes. Greatest challenges, yes. But where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So don't be disheartened tonight. We have a tremendous responsibility, and it's easy at times to be disheartened when we look at the situations that surround us and even the situations we face ourselves and when we see our family and our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones. But I want to encourage you tonight, don't be disheartened. Victory is ours in Jesus' name. If I didn't believe we could have victory and revival greater than ever in Chile, I wouldn't go back to Chile. But I am anxious to return back to Chile because I believe God is pouring out His Spirit. We're seeing it, and I believe things are going to get even greater. And God is going to do greater things. But not only in Chile. In Indiana. In Elkhart. In your life. In your family. On your job. In your situation. You see, we don't like to have problems. We all want to have miracles. If we would ask tonight who would like to have a miracle in their life, I think probably almost all of us raise our hands. But in order for us to have a miracle, there has to be the need. In order for us to have victory, there has to be a battle. In order for us to be able to break through the curse of darkness and the curse of the generation, there has to be some opposition. We have a God who is faithful. No matter where in the world we are, no matter what we face, He has promised to be faithful, to give us victory, as long as we keep our hearts and souls in tune with Him. We have the Spirit, and we have the message of liberty that our world is looking for. When you go to work tomorrow, you're not just another employee. When you go into the store, you're not just another shopper. When you go to school, you're not just another student. Wherever you are, you're not just another citizen. You're a son, you're a daughter of Almighty God. And He has placed you exactly where you are. You will go places I never can go. You'll meet people your pastor probably never will meet until you witness to them. God works in their lives and you bring them to church. You see, we talk about missions. We're all missionaries. We all have a responsibility. We all have the privilege of serving our Savior exactly where He's placed us. And the best place to serve God is right where we are. So many times we think, Lord, if this would just happen or that would just change. A lot of times we think, Lord, if we could just do this or do that or whatever, would change a little bit, then we would see the miracle. But the miracle is not how I plan it. The miracle is not how you plan it. It's how God works it out. I'd like to invite you to stand with me tonight. In Luke chapter 1, verse 50, we read, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." What a tragedy it was for Israel, for that generation. But I don't believe that's going to be reality in our generation. I don't believe that's going to be the case in our age and day, because there are people who know God. And I read in the Word of God that they that know their God, shall do exploits. That means us. Sometimes it's great to read about what God does in other places, and that's encouraging. I'm thankful for that, but God wants to do the very same thing here. God wants to do the very same thing in your life. There's no limit to the miracles. There's no limit to the power. There's no limit to the glory and grace of God. There's no limit to the need that God wants to supply through each and every one of us. So tonight, I invite us to just open up our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, yes, we live in a challenging time. Yes, we live in perilous times. Yes, sin abounds, but thank you, Lord, that your promise is where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And so, Lord, prepare us. Lord, help us. Lord, equip us. And Lord, help us to be ready when that situation arises, when that opportunity comes, that we can speak the word of faith, we can speak the word of deliverance, we can take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who surround us. Jesus, we're so thankful tonight for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we live in difficult times and we face many challenges. Lord, I pray for each and every one of your children that is here tonight. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to be here, and I pray you would bless each one that is here. Lord, in this midweek service, they've sacrificed. They have come perhaps tired. They've braved the cold, but Lord, we're here tonight because we desire to know you. We are here, Lord, because there is a burning, there is a yearning down in our hearts and souls. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for each one that is here. I know there are specific needs present in the lives of your people tonight. I pray, Lord, for a mighty, miraculous visitation of your Spirit, that you would supply for every need, that you would touch every heart and soul, that you would work, O God, in their lives and do, O God, what only you can do. We have found you, Lord, to be extremely faithful. Lord, we have found you to be so good. And so I pray tonight for miracles of healing. I pray for guidance. I pray, Lord, for deliverance. I pray for a mighty anointing of your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for revival in their lives, in their families, Lord, in their friends and their neighbors. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide and help us. The job that we are faced with, Lord, is sometimes greater than what we can even comprehend, and at times, Lord, it's overwhelming. But I pray, Jesus, that you would give us a sensitivity to your Spirit. As we, Lord, reach out, we want to be sensitive to your will. And I'm sure, Lord, that they feel the very same way here that we feel in Chile. Sometimes the job is overwhelming, but Lord, lead us to hungry hearts and souls. We can't speak to everybody in Elkhart. We can't speak to everybody in Chile, but lead us, Lord, I pray, to hungry hearts and souls, and help us to be ready, O God, for those who are living under the curse, those who would be receptive, Lord. Help us to and prepare us to be used of you, O God, that we might reach and we might proclaim the salvation in Jesus' name, that we may tell them what you have done in our lives, and we let them know that you are a miracle worker and there is nothing that is difficult, nothing that is hard for you. We thank you for your exceeding great promises. I bless you tonight, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I believe your word. I claim your promises. And so tonight, Lord, I pray for strength for this church, for this congregation, for the ministry here, for your people. Lord, let a refreshing of the Holy Ghost, let the power of your Spirit descend upon each and every one, and that we may go forth strengthened from this place with a new purpose, with a renewed desire. And Lord, that you would help and give us revival. Wherever we are, give revival here in Indiana. Give us revival in Chile, Lord. We need your help. Time is short, but oh, thank you for the victory. Thank you for all that you have done in the past, and thank you for what you will do in the future. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory, and thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's victory in Jesus' name. There's triumph in Jesus' name. Let's allow the Lord to direct us and go out into a cursed generation and know, and let them know, the curse can be broken in Jesus' name, and victory is ours. Keep us in your prayers as we deputize. We're just getting started. Amen. We've got a ways to go yet, but believe the Lord and thank the Lord we're headed south. Amen. We are so excited to be headed south. Amen. Here in Indiana, going to Kentucky and then on south and be down there. But it is our privilege to be here. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for caring, for sharing to a nation that you haven't seen your pastor, saw it many years ago. He needs to come and see it again. Amen? He needs to come and see it again. Bring his wife this time. But thank you for caring for people that need to hear what you and I have heard so many times. Pray for the nation of Chile. God bless. We love and appreciate you.
Praise God. Awesome. Amen. Great word of the Lord. You think, my wife and I were driving back. We were over helping Titus and his wife. She's been very, very, very ill. I don't know if we've said it publicly, but we found out that she's expecting twins in August. And that has been, she doesn't carry babies well and has really been suffering, very, very ill. So if you pray, when you pray, remember her. Amen. That God would touch her and strengthen her. The babies are healthy at this point, but she's sick carrying them. And she's been very, very ill. I'm very thankful for Zoraida. We talked that Zoraida did the translation for the GATS program, and he is there teaching students using material to build leadership. Amen. So some of the work that you did years ago, he's benefiting from. Amen. So I'm very thankful that our church is actually really part of what's going on in Chile. Amen. I'm very thankful for that. Let me just say, I know we're a little early, and I don't mean to just talk just to be talking, but wow, it is such an awesome thing to go to Chile, and the people there are loving and kind. It was freaky when it really was, and Brother Well can tell you, he said they're very warm and friendly, but I mean, the ladies will just come up and hug you, and they would hug me, and I would put my hands in my pockets and look at their husbands like, hey, your wife is hugging me. And he'd smile and nod, and he'd be so happy. And I'm telling you what, I was the most uncomfortable person in the room. And they would just, every time you come to church, they'd come up and hug you. And I was like, Brother Well, can you get them to quit? My wife's going to throw a fit. And he said, no, that's just the way Chile is. They're just open and warm not like Northern Indiana. Not at all like Northern Indiana. And the fruit and the vegetables are ginormous. Corn is like a kernel of corn is like that big. It's giant. Oranges are huge. It's amazing. It's a beautiful country. When I preached there, when I did a youth crusade there, a youth revival weekend, people got in the bus and drove 24 hours. They got off work, got in a bus, drove 24 hours. It started Friday night. They didn't get there till Saturday afternoon. Got off the bus, went straight to church, had great church. Afterwards, they showered. There was a couple of shower stalls outside of the church along the wall. And they went over there and all took showers and cleaned up. And then they slept on the floor of the church, or they went to somebody's house and slept in somebody's house. They came back Sunday morning, and we had church. And we were supposed to have church and then take a break and have church. But our first service, the Holy Ghost moved in such a phenomenal way. The entire church was just almost slain in the spirit. People were laying around crying out to God, and lunch was ready. And so we weren't really sure. We were supposed to have another service later in the day, and we talked about it, and they talked about it, and they decided, you know what, we're just going to let them eat, and they can come back if they want to. And this is the way, listen, this is the way they handled a Sunday church that was too long. I didn't preach long. Get some of you off of that right there. The Holy Ghost moved in such a way, even though I was preaching. I know that's shocking. That the whole auditorium was laying in the floor, praying with each other, and they went to dinner. It was outside, under the trees, and they had fried chicken, I'll never forget. Beautiful, delicious fried chicken. Sound like President Trump there, don't I? They'd get people and say, hey, it's your turn to go eat. And people would go outside and sit down and eat, and they'd talk and they'd fellowship. And then they would get back up and go into the church and tap people that were praying. And they'd be laying on the floor speaking in tongues, and they'd tap them and say, "It's my turn to pray. It's your turn for lunch." And they would get up out of the floor and go outside and eat lunch. And then when they got back, they'd come in. I think there were maybe 2.5 shifts, I would call it, of people transitioning from praying. And when they all got done eating, a couple people cleaned up, but everybody came back in. We didn't have church again. They just prayed into the afternoon, and about 4 o'clock, people said, "Well, we've got to go. What's your hurry? You know, you want a fellowship or whatever?" And they said, no, we've got to catch the bus." And they left that all-day church service prayer meeting, got on the bus, and drove 24 hours home, and then got off the bus and went to work. So they left Friday afternoon sometime, got in Saturday afternoon sometime, church Saturday night, church all day Sunday, got on the bus, and drove 24 hours home. Now, how long did it take you to get to church tonight? How long? I've actually been talking for 8 or 9 minutes. And y'all are nervous. Is he going to preach again? Well, how long is he going to go? And so I talk about it. Amen. But I'm very thankful to have been there and experienced a people so dedicated, so hungry for a move of God, that they were willing to pay this huge price. I've never seen anyone in a weekend give themselves that much. And it was extremely moving to be there. And I know it's not uncommon for people to sacrifice greatly to live for God. But some of my memories, some of the things that just still move me when I think about and talk about them. I'm very thankful for my friend and his wife, whom we love. They were just great people. I stayed with them in their home, and tremendous people. So we're going to continue supporting, thank the Lord, and have revival. And maybe I'll go back to Chile someday. It was a tremendous time. We do have one other thing. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be preaching in a revival, a community-wide revival at the Omega Center at 7 o'clock. And you're welcome to come. It is for Elkhart County, pastors and churches, some apostolic men that baptize in Jesus' name, believe in receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. They do have some differences in what we believe and what I preach, but they've invited me to come and preach and participate. So I'm going to go there and preach the gospel tomorrow night, and you're welcome to come. I don't want to tell you that you can't come, don't want to do it as a secret, but I'd be happy that you come out. And last week we had 2 young men get the Holy Ghost, and Bill Zimmerman, who owns Zimmerman Funeral Homes just right around the corner here up on Jackson Street, was baptized, I think it was Friday or Saturday. He was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray that he is filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That God would do a work in his life. There's more to the story. I had lunch with him a year and a half or two ago, and he's got some real hopes for God bringing revival into Elkhart. And so I'm looking forward to God doing a work in his life. Turns out his wife was apostolic in West Virginia and had some things happen and left the apostolic faith. And a couple years ago, I preached a tent revival for Jack Rory. And I preached, I forget what night of the week it was, for a tent revival. And she was in the audience, and she came forward and began to pray and renew the Holy Ghost in her on that night. And God changed some stuff in her heart and her mind, the way she looked at God. And she completely changed. And so that's Bill's wife, who prayed through and was restored with the Holy Ghost. And so now he's gotten baptized. And so maybe a long story, but someday, amen, God will bring them all in. I'm very thankful, Brother Hunt's mom and dad. Brother Hunt's been in church now for 26 years. He's been praying for his dad. He told me afterwards, he said, if you'd have told me my dad would have got saved, I would have. It's almost as if Kurt got saved. I'd have never believed it. And yet Sunday, we saw both of them filled with the Holy Ghost. And she actually had gotten the Holy Ghost as a child, so she was refilled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Miracles are happening. I'm very thankful. So if you're available tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Omega Center right down Middlebury Street, I'm going to be preaching, and we're going to have a good time. So if you're not, if you can't make it, I'll see you Sunday. Keep in prayer. Be faithful. Witness to somebody. Tell them God can change lives. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the